Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation, and it is another year of the Dork Forest. What the heck, right? So you should know that the website, JackieCation.com or thedorkforest.com or dorkforest.com, if you don't enjoy a determiner, are all still available. You could hear the show on all of the different things. I've been trying to figure out how to get off Spotify. Try not to listen to Spotify because they throw in ads that are not approved by me, Jackie Cation. So, we'll see what I could do. Anyway, but so you could always watch the show on my YouTube channel. I think it's The Dork Forest or Jackie Cation. It's all linkable on JackieCation.com, the Dork Forest page. And I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show. Not quite as sleepable because it's just me and Laurie Kilmartin bitching about stand-up comedy and also celebrating it. Anyway, so here's the thing. You can donate again to the show. If you enjoy the show, I would love for you to donate about $100 a year because that keeps everything in rolling along. And you can do PayPal, which is my email, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me anything you like about the shows and stuff like that. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. That's my Venmo handle. And if you see me in real life at a comedy show, you could just hand me a sweaty wad of 20s or whatever you like. That'd be great. And I also do stand-up comedy. So you can see my tour dates on JackieCation.com. You can see, you can listen to very old episodes of The Dork Forest on my Bandcamp. And I also put my very first album that I ripped. It's on my Bandcamp page. It's called It's not Circus People. It's Cake Is Not My Downfall, which is a track on the Bread album, but it has other jokes that are not on the Bread album. The audio is what it is, but there's also some very early Dork Forests and a storytelling album called Storytime, all on Bandcamp, and everything's either free or a couple of bucks. So new album coming out in February called Altercation and new special. And that, I'm sure there's more to it, but let's get into the show. Tis I, Jackie Cation. You remember from the Dork Forest, which is what you're listening to. Rangers, Kelly MacFarland. Kelly MacFarland. She said it like that. So that's how I think it's pronounced. Is it pronounced MacFarland?
I mean, it really isn't pronounced any specific way. I just have been trained. I mean, do you have that with your last name?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to say it right.
Yeah.
So that anybody has a chance at spelling it or saying it correctly.
Exactly. So, I mean, you must have it worse than I do, right?
Well, except for that my new album is called Altercation. And my last album was called Staycation. And my next album, I'm doing an inadvertent trilogy. But your album, which is you've recorded a while back, but you're going to re-release. You're going to release it. Yeah. It's called Hot Gnome.
Yeah.
And G-N-O-M-E. It'll be in the notes. April 17th. Hot Gnome. And I think it's coming out on Blonde Medicine, our mutual label. Is that correct?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Oh,
they're
look
great.
At us. Look at us.
They're so great over there. I know. We're in the family.
They're so great.
They're so great.
I mean, he was the best thing to come out of that mess that was Rooftop Comedy. And
Agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were trying so hard to do something great. And then Dom.
They mostly just stole stand-up from people.
There was
and then
lot.
They sold it to Amazon.
Yes.
And then Amazon has grainy, grainy video of every great comic from 1990 to 1996. It's dumb, but there it is. You want to see Mitch Hedberg working on a new bit? Talk to Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay. But your dorkdom is ghosts. Let's do ghosts first. Just because ghosts make me laugh. Just because what? ghosts.
Wait, all I have to know, do you believe in ghosts? We'll start there. Now I'm interviewing you. Sit back.
Exactly. Relax. I don't plug and play. I don't not believe in ghosts.
Okay.
Here's what's happened. I've never seen a ghost.
Oh.
I have also never been to Antarctica. It could also exist. So I don't know. There might be ghosts.
Yeah.
What do I know? Right?
I agree. I believe
that there is a god or gods or a pantheon.
Yes.
Or a higher power or a universal spirit or at least some fucking science that's making all the planets go in a circle. And it's not a circle. No. Anyway, so what do I know? So what do you believe in ghosts?
I do believe in ghosts. Well, I believe on this podcast you get in the weeds. Is that correct? Shall we go in the weeds?
Let's go deep. The weeds are available.
Yes.
That's what this podcast is about.
The weeds will be open for this podcast. The weeds. So ghosts are like a thing that I believe in them and I feel like I've seen them. I believe I've seen ghosts or had crosses with the supernatural. So because of that, I'm fascinated by ghosts. I'm also super fascinated with people who think that they live with a ghost or see ghosts or talk to ghosts. Those people fascinate me because I'm kind of like, well, maybe.
Because you're on board with ghosts, but you have not started a podcast you don't have, like, you don't have the paperwork.
No.
Or a machine that goes, you see how the needle's moving? It means there's a ghost.
Thank you.
Like you don't have any of that, but you kind of like watching that.
I really like watching anything where I see people hunting for things. Like, there's a show called Ghost Brothers. Have you ever seen this show?
No. Ghost Brothers?
Ghost Brothers. It's these three guys.
Are they Ghosts Brothers?
They're Ghost Brothers. Yes. And they go hunting. They go ghost hunting. And they're
three brothers.
Yes.
They are related to each other, these three young men.
I'm not sure if they're actual brothers, but they're brothers. They're these three.
They're brothers in ghost hunting.
Yes. They're brothers that ghost hunt. They're these three, three black guys who go ghost hunting. And they are so funny and charming that I love watching them. And then there's the other extreme where it's like, there's a guy and I don't even know his name because I refuse to remember it. It's like one of those things where he's so annoying to me that I'm like, I will not learn this guy's name. I think it's Zach. And he goes on these ghost hunts and he's got the machines and the thing. And he's like talking to a ghost box and has the, you know, he's like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? They said, stay out. But all I heard was.
Right. And you're not there. How do you know what you've heard?
Right.
What do I care what a ghost heard? Who ever heard of a ghost?
Right.
Anyway, so wait a minute. So I have to go back up briefly.
Yes.
And Ghost Brothers.
Yes.
Because of their African-American ancestry are also Ghost Brothers.
Yes.
Is that what I'm getting?
That's all
right.
Yes.
I understand. Now it has all become much clearer.
It's clever.
There, it's a play.
Yes.
And then they are also charming and funny. As they look around for ghosts.
Yes. And they scare each other. They're funny and hilarious. Highly recommend.
They scare each other.
They do. There's one that's wicked scared of like everything. And I love that.
And the other two are constantly like, taping on the shoulder that he can't see.
Like, oh, look over there. Yeah. That type of stuff. I saw a ghost when I was the first ghost I saw. Now I sound bananas. So I was doing a sleepover. I grew up in Maine, great state of Maine.
Okay.
I have this.
Oh my God. Maine's full of ghosts.
It's so
full. Why wouldn't Maine be full of ghosts?
There's
so many ghosts.
Do you
remember the Pequon? It was the Pequon people that were murdered?
Yes. Well, anywhere where there's murder, there's ghosts.
There's going to be ghosts.
They're pretty pissed. They're pretty pissed and have a hard time.
That's the only reason they stay around.
That's right.
It's because they want to express their anger.
Right. There's never a happy, I don't know.
Casper. Casper's the only happy ghost.
Which is also sus. But anyway, so my friend Lori Flagg grew up in this very old farmhouse and in central Maine. And we were having a sleepover, and in the middle of the night, she had like one of those old timey beds that's like in the wall. Like it's like a cutout, and then there's just a, no, it's like literally like a little cubby, and it had like a mattress. So we were in there, you know, having our sleepover, and she was
like a fort
kind of, but it was her everyday bed. So, you know, Maine. And so she had already fallen asleep, and I saw this thing go around the room, this like cloud. And I just watched it. And I tried to wake her up, but she wasn't waking up. So I just went under the covers. And then the next morning, I brought it up at breakfast, like you do. And her whole family acted like it was like not a big deal.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, great. Like,
what they all agreed that it was a ghost?
They all agreed that like, yeah, you saw that probably.
Okay.
Yeah, which is terrifying.
I'm having issues with my hair, which if you go to YouTube, will you ever get to see me losing my shit over these headphones.
A rogue
this is the
bang.
Third podcast I've done today. So
let me know if you need me to drive. Let me just, I'll pick it up.
Plug and play, you guys. Kelly MacFarland. Go.
Yeah. So I saw a ghost, and then from that point forward, I was like kind of interested because I wondered when I was going to see the next ghost.
Oh, well, that's interesting. You're kind of addicted to ghosts.
Yeah.
What happened. You're like, where's my next hit of ghost?
I'm going to need another hit of a ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like always am on the lookout. And then the next time I saw one, I sound crazy. This could easily be my Saturday morning therapy session. I saw my aunt in my parents' condo in Florida. She had passed away like a month before. And I got up in the middle of the night and I was sleeping in their like den. And you could see into the kitchen. And I got up to go to the bathroom and I looked in the kitchen because I thought my mother was sitting at the table in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. It was my aunt. And she like slowly turned and looked at me. And then I just backed away and went right back in. Yeah.
That's fucking spooky. Now, now, this is not to play devil's advocate.
Please.
Devil doesn't need an advocate, but the devil doesn't need an advocate. It's all working out for the devil.
Oh my God. Isn't it?
So, yeah.
Currently.
But because here's the scoop. What? Have you always worn glasses?
That's a really good question. Jackie, thank you. You're asking the tough questions. And the answer
is the tough question. Yes.
The answer is yes. Since first grade, I've had a stigmatism.
Since first grade.
Yeah.
Right. So I swear. So last night.
Yes.
I'm lying in bed. And I said to Andy, I see a lady wrestling with a giant fly. Like a super power, like a supernatural sized fly.
Okay.
Against the mirror. It looks kind of like a ghost. And he was like, is it scary? And I said, no, seems to be just sort of an anime kind of situation. And so it might've just been because I have an astigmatism. I have those weird, what I assume is cataracts forming. So I have all kinds of eyeball issues. And I was asleep. I was half asleep. So
yeah,
I will sometimes see things and people and like sometimes, you know, like covers will become a person or a dog or a whatever. Yeah. But
lady wrestling a giant fly?
Right. Could have been. Maybe it was who's to say that in Ghostland, they also don't make anime.
I mean, it would make
they have
sense.
To entertain themselves.
That's correct.
I don't know if have you ever seen that British TV show Ghosts?
No. Oh, yes. Yes. You mean the sitcom?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Have you seen the American version or the British version?
The American version. The American version.
The British version is better.
Always.
Well, because it's an ensemble cast, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But the ensemble is an improv troupe who sold a sitcom to the television people in Britain, in the UK, And then they all got to be in it.
Oh my gosh.
So they have the best chemistry. Right. They have the best, like, sort of the way they work together. And it is hysterical. I don't know if in the American version there is also, is there a plague? Do they go downstairs?
No. There's no plague.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. There are the ghosts that live in the manor house.
Okay.
And then if you go into the basement, there's an entirely other set of ghosts played by the same actors in different outfits and makeup that were buried in a plague pit in the 1400s.
So I need to watch that. Seems better.
Yes, and they're all ghosts. And it's ridiculous. And the first, like, it takes, much like every sitcom ever invented, give it 3 episodes. They're all 20 minutes.
Always. Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Why is British television so good?
Well, it's just different. And we're just used to our television. Yeah. And sometimes our television has been put, especially when they take something from there.
Yeah.
They shove it through a rock tumbler. Like, I don't know. And then it's all kind of. Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, there's something called Professor T.
Okay.
And it is a murder mystery show out of Norway or Denmark that is the darkest fucking thing on the planet. The British took it and turned it into Professor T, which is essentially dark, but it's about essentially sort of an autistic spectrum-y dude who solves crimes. We took it and turned it into fucking Monk. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep going west.
Yeah. Yep. Just rock tumbling our way through everything. That's what we do here.
So you saw your aunt. Now, did your aunt seem agitated at all? Or did she just look kind of bored?
She just kind of
You were like, I don't want to hang.
She just looked like her. Like, she was, she drank a lot when she was alive. And ripped butts and drank coffee. And that's what she was doing when I saw her.
Oh.
She was sitting at the table where she always sat.
Well, maybe that was her idea of heaven.
That's what I'm thinking.
What do you think is the purpose of ghosts? Do you have an idea, a speculation?
I do. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good.
So I do. I think about it a lot. And I always have. Like, I have a little bit of a obsession with death. To be honest, maybe that's what this is about. But I have this thing. I don't know if it's an obsession as much as it's like an interest. Like, I think the afterlife, and we never know when we're gonna die, and like all of that nonsense. So I do obsess over that a little bit. And there's a file, so I obsess a lot of things. So one of my compulsive things is like I have intrusive thoughts about death and like. Yeah, it's dark in there. But anyway, so.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
You smile a lot. It's always a sign.
I really do smile a lot. That is so. I've been trying to dial it back because it's a lot of just a baggie of broken seashells in here. Like, it's like. But the teeth are nonstop. I'm just like.
They're gorgeous. Good choppers.
Oh, well done. Thank you. Choppers. My parents paid for them.
I just got mine done.
You did? Yeah, you have nice teeth. You have a really nice smile. Yeah.
Well, they used to be, all the bottom ones were broken.
Oh.
And the top ones were, a couple of them were twisted up. Mm. And I had a dentist. And I was like, what do you want to do? And he was like, Invisalign. And I said, what else do you want to do?
Right.
And he said, bond them? And I said, yeah, that's what I want you to do.
So you did that instead of Invisalign? Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So there's just cardboard. It's just great.
Yeah.
They'll last as long as they last. They're like adult Super Bowls. It'll be fine.
I mean,
longer am I going to live? Who cares?
You know what? And, yeah. I mean, just don't chew rocks or diamonds, right? Like.
He told me that I can no longer open things with my teeth. And I said, am I a child? Right. I own all kinds of sharp objects. Scissors, knives.
Yeah. I like that dentist, and I won't put my shit on you, but I like that dentist actually thought that you would have the like aggression to open shit with your mouth.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it never happens where you just don't kind of go, oh,
yeah,
I'm going to.
Yeah, but not as your every
it's not
day.
On a regular. Yeah, yeah, not on the regular. I'm 100 years old. Leave me alone.
Same.
So what?
Okay.
So I interrupted.
No, I love it. Hopefully this is how this normally goes. Is this how this
it's completely how it normally goes. And the more I interrupt, the more I like you. And
amazing.
And it's more of a sign that I'm like, well, I hope she likes me. Let me tell this other fucking story.
Listen, I already like you. And I feel like it's weird that we've never met.
It's just insane.
We have so many mutual friends. I know. And it's very weird.
Where are you from?
I'm out of Boston.
You're a Boston comic.
Yeah.
By the way, it's coming out April 17th. Hot Gnome.
Thanks, Jackie.
And it's KellyMacFarland.com for all, which is too much information. So you need to go there for the TMI.
Yeah, do it.
And I was just in Boston. I did the Comedy Studio for one night
on
a Sunday on the back end of that Vermont gig.
I mean, travesty that we haven't met.
Very weird. And you grew up in Maine?
I grew up in Maine, but I've been down here for like 20, I mean.
Odd years. I've been here for like 28.
You're in 28 years. LA?
Los Angeles, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we're East Coast, West Coast.
Right, right. And so but I'm always, because Maine, like I once, here's my famous story about Maine.
Love it.
The first time I was there was for a wedding. And the dad was an old grizzled Maine dude. Yeah. And I said to him, have you always lived here? And he said, no, but 100 years ago, our family lived down there. And I said, the answer is yes.
Oh, no.
The answer is.
Mainers are so literal. Like they're very literal people. My dad was like that, where if you asked him a question, it was just. Like the exact answer, like, Dad, do you like your job? No. Why did you stay? What am I supposed to do, Kelly? Like that type of thing. You know, you don't just quit things, Kelly. Like that type of thing.
What am I like, supposed to do?
I feel like you're like have free will, Dad. You could have just
you could have done something. How many kids are in your family?
It's just, there's only two of us. I have an older brother.
Oh my God. You can pack up.
Yeah.
You know what? My dad joined he was sort of forced to join the Navy because they had kids too young.
Yeah.
And whenever any of my siblings and any of his kids thought about joining the service, he would always set them down and go, you know, you could just leave. You don't have to, you can just go somewhere else and get a job shoveling sand for $2.50 an hour. Not in uniform. Knock yourself out. You do whatever. He's the guy who, whenever anybody thanks him for his service, he always goes, you don't know.
Okay. I thought I loved you. I now love your dad more. That's amazing.
That's because I sell him. I sell him.
You sell him.
Yeah, I was just telling him that because he just did something that irritated me so hard about 3 or 4 months ago that I learned about. And I said, now, how am I supposed to make you likable in this story? Yeah. And he said, well, now, why am I not likable? And I said, because it's a creepy, dumb thing to do. It's not nice. And he goes, huh. And then just last weekend, I made him likable.
Oh.
Can be done.
It can be done. I don't have my parents anymore, but towards the end, my dad was mean for sport. Like he would just be mean for sport and like do gross things because he thought it was funny. And then I just came around to it. I was like, I wonder what he's going to say and do today. Like,
oh, there you go.
Yeah.
A little bit of acceptance.
Oh, you're not wearing pants again. Isn't that fun? I've asked you to wear pants. Oh, your teeth
Huge
are in
fan.
Your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You just walk around with your teeth. You like to leave them places. Okay. Yeah.
It's not hygienic.
No.
And put your pants on.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to see a daddy ding-dong.
Oh, my God.
That's not all right.
Little tidy whities. Not good. Not good.
So Corey Kahaney does.
Yes.
I'm just going to. See, this is what this episode's going to be like, Rangers.
I'm so sorry, Rangers.
Corey Kahaney. Yeah. Corey Kahaney, stand-up comic, also from the East Coast. You must know her.
Love
right?
Corey, yes.
So does the cruise ships, has had a bit on her reels, and I was like, and it's a street joke that someone the guy who wrote it.
Yeah.
And then it became a street joke, like that kind of, okay. It's that kind of joke. It's one of those, you ever write a joke where it's so universal that you're like, oh, that people are just going to tell that as a joke.
Yes.
So the guy who wrote it gave it to her. So, but she tells it a lot on cruise ships because everybody's old.
Sure are.
And my father has recently started sort of doing dirty jokes and just kind of, he's always talked about women too much with me where I'm like, I don't wanna.
Yeah.
And, but the Corey Kahaney joke is, it's about, there was a flasher. There were three old women sitting on a bench and there was a flasher and the flasher flashed the three old women. And one of the women had a stroke and the second woman had a stroke and the third woman couldn't reach. The dumbest fucking joke
it's
in the world.
So, dumb,
so funny.
But so good, right? Yeah. I know. I love dirty jokes. I hate telling dirty jokes. I'm not good at it. Like set up like oh, that whole like
you gotta make them your own.
Street joke thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not good at that part because I find them so dumb and delicious at the same time. I'm like, these are so stupid. But my dad would like, yeah, he would say things that were so, he's probably here because I believe in ghosts. He's probably sitting here right now.
Right.
He's taking his pants off and he's holding his teeth. Yeah. He, you know, I think that, like I said, I'm obsessed with like, where do we go? Right. Like, where do we go after? And I'm not like a religious person. I was raised Catholic, but like the rest of the East Coast, practically the Northeast, but
it feels busy, Catholicism.
Oh, it's so busy.
Like a lot of places that you got to go to get to it. It feels like the fucking DMV.
Yeah.
Where you got to go through purgatory to get to heaven. I was like, what's happening?
It's like so confusing to me with Catholicism because it's like, well, it's an all forgiving God, unless it's these things. So check yourself for these things. But if you don't have these things, then it's you. All bets are off. You can just tell someone and you're good, but don't be these things. It's like,
what are the handful of things? It isn't like the gay thing, is it? Is it like that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So it's like, well, you would think all bets were off.
If you remember.
If you follow the Catholic religion, it feels like they really were anything goes. but
right,
they,
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I read the Da Vinci Code. Ooh, I know what's going on.
Pretty nasty. Yeah. There's like, you can't be divorced. You can't. Like they would have kicked you out, right? The gay thing, which is so.
Yep.
Like, what year is it?
Yeah, divorced and gay.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't understand.
And those might be the only two that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'd forgotten about the divorce thing.
Isn't that just like rigid?
Well, it seems panicky.
Stuff?
It's super panicky.
Yeah,
you're just like, no, you can't leave your husband. I just read an amazing romance novel series by this new young woman author, and it was historical romance, which is my dorkdom, my
love
jam.
It.
And it was set in 1880 in England. And it was about these women who were suffragettes, and they were trying to pass the Married Women Property Amendment, where once you got married, you got to keep your property.
Okay.
And previously to 1884 or whatever, once you get married, all of your belongings and you belonged to your husband. You were chattel and you couldn't run away. The law would come and get you and bring you back.
Right.
And it was this whole thing. And so it was this, and divorce had become legal, but only men could do it.
Right.
And then there was this other law. It was called conjugal rights law, where if a woman ran away, it was the law that could bring her back so that they could have babies.
Oh.
So it was this forced birth
babies,
thing.
Like.
Well, sex.
Yeah. They used the baby thing as like a,
And how they got that, and we might want a second source. The history I'm talking about came
from
a romance
novel. Let me go to the tape. Nope, you have it right. Thank you so much.
But the way they turned it around was a guy had abandoned his wife for like some other woman. And she decided to invoke the conjugal visits thing. And she took it to Parliament, and Parliament was like, oh, we got to change that law.
Yeah.
If women are going to say that we have to live with them. What, and they did it within like 2 fucking weeks.
Yeah. I mean,
because they were like, oh no, we were using that to hit you with.
Right.
You don't get to have that stick.
Right. I still can't get over the fact that, like, so I was born, I like to give my social and my birth date now. In the 70s.
Lori Kilmartin does. Yeah, I was born in the 60s. Look at this face. This thing is just aging without any concern.
Oh my gosh. Anyway. I'm just a melting candle. 1972. And so it's like, when I think about the fact that that's like the same year that women could have their own bank account.
Right.
Isn't that bananas? It's like.
Right. And now we're not going to be able to vote, and it's going to be.
So true.
And we're going to literally have to just kill them on the streets.
Yes.
And because if we were straight white guys, we would have already killed for our rights.
Of course.
But here we sit.
Yep. And I'm just going, pondering death.
Because you're pondering death. You're pondering, where do we go?
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't care where we go, but I just want to take as many of them with me.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. My new album's called Altercation. And I will drop them off in an ocean of fire. And then I'll just, yeah, it's grim.
Exactly.
But so you don't know. So you don't, you grew up Catholic.
I did.
Which tells you that there, that when you die, you go to heaven, you go to hell.
Yeah. Like,
or
this,
you
heaven
go to
and
purgatory?
Hell. Well, yeah, you have to go to purgatory and hang out. Right. Which is like detention, I guess. Like, they assess you when you arrive, put you in detention, which I spent a lot of time in. And then when you've done enough good things, then you can, like, I don't even know. So I don't buy into any of that anymore. I do think we go somewhere. I think there is something bigger than us. I don't know what it is. Also, why would I know what it is? Which you touched on at the beginning of this. Like, why would I know? Kelly MacFarlane. That's with an MAC. Why would I know? Why would I know that? I can barely do math in my head. Why would I know anything about that? Right. But it's bigger. And so my thing is like,
because maybe we just melt back into the big ball, right?
Maybe our
brains and psyches and personalities go back into the big ball. And then we come back out as needed.
Yeah.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
Did you ever see Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious. Very sweet. It's about the afterlife. It's about the afterlife.
Yeah. There's a great show called The Good Place.
Yeah.
I love this show. I've watched it several times, actually, from start to finish.
Oh.
Yeah, I probably could have included that in my dork list.
No, that's...
Well, I watched it...
How many seasons are there?
I mean, a few. Like, 5?
At least 4 or 5?
4 or 5, maybe 6.
Okay.
But I watched it when it was out, when it first came out, from start to finish. And then my mom got sick and died, so I watched it again. Because I was like, okay. I need that. Maybe this is the answer. And so I watched it again, and I actually love the way they pitch it. Like, you kind of, they'll keep sending you back down, right? They kept sending her back. Because she was figuring out this thing. No spoilers. But when you are in the other place, the good place, you just kind of live your life with all the people you liked. And you go out for margaritas and nachos and hang out and chips and salsa. And you go hang out at the beach and fly and whatever. And then when you think you're good, then you move on. And then you just like evaporate.
Oh, interesting. So Defending Your Life is also about reincarnation.
Love it.
With Albert Brooks. And it's essentially they send you back until you learn the correct thing, and then you move forward. to a different kind of plane.
Yeah, that, see, I guess that idea.
Most people use 3% of their brains.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back, like, there was a guy who used 0.8% of his brain. Nobody wanted to hang out with him. And
that's hilarious.
Now I want to see it again.
Yeah.
I own the DVD. Yeah.
I want to watch that now. Yeah.
Albert Brooks, Meryl Streep. Come on.
I definitely feel like the ghost thing is like, maybe I'm holding on to something and I'm trying to be open to it. Right. Cause it's like,
okay,
if something, I hope we don't just go away. I guess that's my thing.
Does it feel like it's been a lot of work for nothing?
That seems unfair. I worked a day job for many years, and when I left, they got a cake from the grocery store, and I was like, I'll never forget it, because I was like, this is weird. Like, you couldn't even go to a bakery. You went to
They just went to Ralph's and right. They just went to a Kroger's.
It's like, I just, like, that payoff didn't feel good to me. I feel like it needs to be balanced. So, like, if you die, you should be able to visit and come back a little bit, you know, and see.
Did you
ever
go back to, like, your grade school when you were in junior high?
Yeah.
Or go back to your high school when you were in college or after you graduated?
Yes.
I was that person as well.
Yeah.
And they were never that psyched to see me. No, they were just like, it's a little weird. And you're like, yeah, but it's nostalgia not based on fact.
No.
Because, right, because I wasn't good at any of those places. But when I go back, I'm like, this is somehow soothing.
Yes.
This is where I was ignored and pushed around. And, or I read 1,000 books and I ignored and pushed everybody else around.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is, right?
Right.
And yeah.
That is an interesting parallel that you are drawing, because it's true. It's like, when you go back, is this reality or are you working off delusion? Right. So
right.
You're right. No one was ever really happy to see you. Like the first time.
They were polite.
Maybe. The teacher was happy the first time they saw you. Like they were like, oh, it's so good to see you. But then like the next time you came back, they were like, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be, you have a job? Who's taking care of you? Yeah, it's definitely that type of thing. I feel like maybe that you just solved my issue. Maybe I don't want to come back here after I die because it won't be as good as I remember.
Would you do time travel if you could?
I thought you were going to say, would you do time? I mean, If you do the crime, I do the time.
That's right here. You do the, you know.
Yes, that's what I read. Time travel?
So there's two questions here.
Yeah.
Time travel.
Okay.
Some people just want to time travel to look at themselves when they were children.
Oh, God.
And some people want to do time travel to go through history or whatever and see something they like, dinosaurs or pirates or.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I need to do either of those things.
That seems healthy. Because to go back and look at yourself is super narcissistic.
It really is.
And what I wouldn't mind doing, because I've been given so many, and only in the last dozen years or so, different stories about my mother who passed when I was very young.
Okay.
I would like to go back and see the actual mess that was happening.
Sure.
Because I have compassion. And I've always had almost too much compassion, oddly enough, because my stepmother hilariously would go from this is horrible to, oh, but they have this problem.
Okay.
So you have to be compassionate. I mean, like zero to hero, there was no time in the middle to go, but it hurt my feelings in the middle, or this was poorly run, this era.
Yeah.
Or, you know, she went right to compassion and she's like, essentially she's holding the umbrella for everybody else but herself. But she's still standing in the rain. And which is funny because when she was in her early 30s, she once said to me, you know, if you're born in the rain, that's sad. But if you're in your 30s and you're still standing in the rain, you're an idiot. Get out of the rain. And
that is heavy.
She was heavy. She also taught me how to throw up when I was 8. So she, as I said to my sister, Darla, once probably 20 years ago, I said, do you think Nancy had an eating disorder? And Darla just looked at me. She goes, yeah, Nancy had an eating disorder, Jackie.
A little bit. Yeah, Jackie. I mean, listen, I don't want to armchair therapist you, but yes, I just figured that out also in real time with you. Yeah, that's crazy. I will say there are some pockets of my childhood I don't remember. Like, do you remember your whole childhood?
No, I don't remember almost nothing before I was 8.
I don't remember a lot at all. And so I would like to see what happened during those times, because I think it would explain a lot about me.
And I would like to be sympathetic.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely am. I've gotten over it, but I am willing to make fun of the fact that she wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
My biological mother.
Yeah.
I'm not going to expect her to be. She was 17.
Yeah.
So she had 6 children under the age of 10 when she was 26. So that is bullshit.
That is crazy. And
yeah. So she's going to be as good at it as you can be.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it didn't hurt my feelings. It just means, though, that I can also go, well.
Yeah.
But my sister always said, you know, the condom was invented in the 1700s. And since she's the 5th of 6 children,
right,
everyone always goes, well, then you wouldn't have been born. And she was like, no, I would have been a Rockefeller like I was supposed to be.
Right, right.
And you're like,
you would have shown up somewhere else.
Exactly.
I do. There's something really crazy about the fact that people used to have kids so young. Like, I never birthed any children. I don't have any kids. I have a stepson. Thank God. I didn't have to make him.
Perfectly nice young man.
He's a great man. I love that man. He's almost 21. But I never birthed any children. And I think the reason why I wasn't like driven to have kids when I was young and in my 20s or even in my 30s was my mother didn't make it sound great to my face. Like, she would be like, to do it again, I wouldn't have had kids. But it's just what you did. So, I mean, I'm glad you're alive. What does that mean? So I think there is something about that, but it's because they had these kids so young. They never got to like make a mistake.
Yeah, I never wanted children until I met my husband. And then I was like, I wouldn't mind a tiny one of that.
Yes.
So that felt genetic. That felt kind of, but by then I had like 4 eggs. So they were marinating and extra chromosomes.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. Have you ever been to dive bar and seen that big jug of pickled eggs? Yeah, I was. By the time I got married, I was like, "Yeah, we're not doing this. This doesn't seem like something."
Seems like a terrible, terrible choice that we'll be paying for the next 40 years.
I'm exhausted. I can't even imagine having to take care of a small person.
Most Boston accent on the word exhausted.
Exhausted. Yeah. So I think there's something to be said about this whole thought of where do we go and
because there's two kinds of, and I did a Dork Force about this several years ago, Chinese movies about vampires, Chinese movies about ghosts. Chinese movies about vampires are funny.
Okay.
Chinese movies about ghosts are terrifying.
Do you like these movies?
No, it was somebody else's dorkdom. Oh. I ended up watching one of the vampire movies because I was told they were funny.
And it's hilarious.
And, well, they hop.
I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that?
It's a vampire. You know they're a vampire because they put their feet together and they hop.
I mean, yeah.
Though they do, they also move pretty quick.
Oh.
But they hop, 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 move. Hop, 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 move. So they can be a little scary in jump scare world.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, you're like, you can trick, they're also dumb.
Oh, okay.
Ghosts, on the other hand, Chinese ghosts, frighteningly smart.
Really?
And thus, and angry.
Are they all demonic? I was just going to say, are they all demonic?
They're not, some of them are just angry.
because I don't fuck with demons.
What? You don't fuck with demons?
No.
I don't know anything about demons.
Yeah, like The Exorcist, anything like that, possession, I don't know.
Oh, I accidentally saw The Omen once. I had made a deal with a friend of mine where I said, I'll watch The Omen if you watch Pillow Talk. And then she didn't watch Pillow Talk.
That's not a fair trade.
It was not a fair trade because I didn't want to watch The Omen. Too scary.
Too scary. I don't like it.
Because you were raised Catholic. Right. You're too much talk of that when you were a baby.
So honestly, like my brother and his dumb friends, he's 4.5 years older than me. They rented a VCR. Like every Friday night, they would rent the VCR. Remember doing that? And like,
yeah, yeah.
And then they would get movies. And my parents would be like, don't go in there because those movies aren't for you. Because I was, it was that weird gap of age, right?
Oh, right. 4 years.
And they got The Exorcist. And... like the 1970s Linda Blair one. And I was like, I snuck in and looked and I shouldn't have done it because it's terrified me. It like threw me over the edge.
My brother Scott told me that he went and saw The Exorcist and someone had to be exorcised after they saw The Exorcist.
That's right.
He saw it in the movie theaters and he was like 16. And he said, and then he came home and he told me that somebody had, and I was like, what? Yeah. And then I'm kidding. Probably 15, 20 years ago, I said to him, remember when you told me that? He said, that was true. That was true. And I'm like, you're so full of shit. 40 years later, I'm going to find you.
Yeah. Anyway. Now I have Google. You prick. So I'm going to Google that. Yeah. We had the
book. Doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. We had the book, like the paperback. My parents had it in their den. You know how you have the big shelves of all these books. And I made them get rid of it. I was like, I need you to get rid of that book. And they were like, you're being ridiculous. And I was like, I'm not. We shouldn't even have that in our house.
And I don't even care. Aren't you the ones who made me go to church?
Exactly. Yeah.
How about that?
They didn't make me go to church. They made me go to Sunday school.
Oh, right.
So that's the other thing. Probably if I had gone to church, I'd have like a better, healthier balance of how religion works. But they just made me go... to the, you know, so much is becoming clear to me during this conference.
That's what this show is about. Yes.
Oh,
this show is
tricky.
About the deep dive into how your dorkdom affects your psyche.
I mean, are you a therapist? I feel like you might be a therapist.
Yeah. I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
And I do my own therapy on stage. I did a joke the other night. And about have a nightmare, a bunch of nightmares I'm having.
Yeah.
And this woman came up and said, I don't know. I'm sure other people have said this to you, but have you thought about seeing a psychiatrist?
Oh.
And I said, you are the first person to say this to me. But what you should know is that you will not be the last. Because I am going to keep doing this and not going to a psychiatrist.
Did she laugh or was she concerned?
She did
for
laugh.
Your well-being?
She was concerned. I was like, do you work in the mental health field? She was like, I do. And I was like, well, good for you.
Are you trying to drum up business at my comedy show, lady? Back off.
I'm having crazy ass nightmares. I did have a really good dream the other night with a pep talk.
Oh.
It was sort of about the same topic of world events. But in the midst of it, it was a pep talk. And I was like, oh, I don't mind this.
Who gave you the pep talk in your dream?
I gave it to myself.
I love that.
You know, yeah,
you're fine.
What I do is I have dreams where I have a dream and then I don't like how it ends.
Yeah.
So I dream it again and I dream it again. It's very, very annoying. And so I call them loop dreams.
Yeah.
And then I finally get they don't happen that often. They've happened more often in the last year and they're all nightmares. Like I usually just wake up and I need a glass of water.
Yeah,
because I've lit myself on fire and run into a pile of stormtroopers. So not cool. Not cool.
I always have guns in my dreams. Guns, knives. I'm being hunted.
Guns.
I'm always trying to save someone. Yeah, it's.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I had a Jack Reacher. I don't know if you ever saw Reacher. Did you watch Reacher?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a
second
while,
season. Second season of Reacher. It's coming out, the new one. The guy that throws people from helicopters.
Okay.
So I had
in your dream
a nightmare where I was kidnapping stormtroopers and then throwing them out of the helicopter over various monuments. And I literally, in my dream, I kept having the dream, And then finally the dream ended with me going, you can't afford a helicopter.
That's the hole in the story.
That's
it's not the story.
That's the problem.
That's
the problem. Yeah, the whole thing is the problem. But what the real problem is, yeah, I mean, you're right. Wait a minute. Write it down. Because
it wasn't the stormtroopers. Were they in their full garb, like their white armor?
No, I'm talking ice agents. I call them stormtroopers. Oh.
You know what? I like this dream. And I think that you are doing the good work. And I do think that you're processing the fact that you need funding for a helicopter. So I think you put that in the notes. You're going to need some funding.
The other one that I had like a Thanos-like power where I could kill anybody I wanted, but I could kill anyone I wanted. So I killed everybody. It was horrible. And it was I was very specific about what the horribleness was.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, airplanes started falling out of the sky and buses started going over ravines. And I was like, no, rewind. Add addendum. Not if someone is working.
Right.
In the public transportation situation. And then I let it play and there were still pileups and still awful things. And I redid it and it felt like 1,000 times until I finally came to the conclusion. Which it's never a mystery when I have these dreams,
right?
What it all means.
Sure.
So the conclusion in this case was, guess who shouldn't be in charge of killing people?
Right.
This one right here.
I mean,
so I don't need a psychiatrist. How about that?
I'm fine. I journal. I don't. I tell people I journal because it makes them feel better. You know what I mean? Like they'll be like, yes. You journal? And I'm like, oh yeah. And if by journal, you mean when I drive in my car, I sing, scream. Yeah.
I have a notebook.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll write shit down sometimes, you know.
I got set lists. Is that journaling?
Yeah, that is journaling. Oh my gosh. Right. So many set lists. So weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So go.
Is your tour dates on your website as well? Kelly MacFarland.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
Everyone should go see Kelly MacFarland do the stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And it is Hot Gnome, the album, April 17th. And what? Yeah, I don't know what ghost things. I mean, have you seen all the movies?
No.
Do you like a ghost movie? No.
No, and I like to be scared. Like, I would rather watch the true stuff. Not, you know, it's loose.
Right.
True. But I don't like a scare, like the nuns with razor blade teeth, that type of stuff. I don't like that. The Ring, you know, people are running, falling out of
movies.
Well, I don't like that stuff.
You like sort of the faux reality shows where they're actually looking for ghosts.
Yeah. I like to watch people hunt for them because then I feel empowered to be like, that's horseshit. Right. Like I like to sit back and be like, you're ridiculous. That doll's eyes didn't move. Like there's a doll in Key West. If you ever go down and do if you're ever in Key West, there's this doll, Robert the Doll. And he is in a museum there. And you're not supposed to make eye contact with him. You're not supposed to be rude to him. You're supposed to ask if you can take his photo. Because people have written letters after they've left that they didn't do those things and they've had bad luck. Bestowed upon them. So, of course, I had to go see it.
The first thing I do is never go to that museum.
I went. I went and saw.
What if you got a postcard of Robert? Like somebody said, yes, you go to the gift shop, and then you look into his eyes.
Well, yeah.
Looking for a loophole.
I'm looking for a workaround. I don't know. There were a lot of knickknacks. You could buy like little baby dolls of him and keychains. And I was like, I don't. Can't bring that in the house.
No.
I won't even. This is full crazy. I was traveling once, and I came home, and my husband had bought a dresser off of Facebook Marketplace, and I lost it. I was like, "Who owned this? Who had this? Was it a dead person? Because they could have attached themselves to the top drawer." And now they live with us. So where did you get this? Who sold it to you? What did they look like? And he was like, oh my gosh, I'll never do this again. I know. It's crazy.
Okay. Here's another question. Do you know Karen Rontowski?
I do know Karen Rontowski. Not personally, but she, yes. Oh. She's, yes.
I have known her for these 30 years.
Yes.
And I have followed her around. We have talked ghosts. She has been on this program.
Yes.
Speaking to and about and for, she does the tarot.
Yes.
She does hilarious tarot card readings. I have to say that I'm sure she also does tarot readings, I think, as a side hustle, as a job. And I don't know if she's as funny, but she does tarot card reading shows where she does bits and then tarot. And you're like, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
But she also is damn certain that there's ghosts.
Oh, for sure.
Because she's a ghost hunter.
Her. Yeah, I would love to chat with her. I'd also love her to read my cards. Do you believe in tarot cards?
She's read my cards several times. She's, I don't believe in tarot cards. What do I mean, here's my thing is when she reads my tarot, when anyone reads, when you go to somebody to read your tarot. Like, I remember it was early day. It was like 1998, 1999. And I got my tarot cards and they recorded it on a cassette.
Oh, yeah.
And I played it until the cassette broke. Cause I could listen to her talking about, and I asked if I was going to ever have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And, she said, you know, it says that you are going to find somebody and it's going to be someone you really like, long-term. But I'm sorry to tell you, this is not a fast card. It's a slow card. And I said, that's fine. I mean, I can wait.
I've been waiting. Slow. Yeah.
Right. I've been waiting like 13, 14 years. I can last another couple of years. And I know Karen has read, but you know, the one thing that makes me laugh that I've told Karen about is that she will say, you know, it's going to be a really hard year or this is going to be a really bad time. And I was like, you could say that every day.
Yeah.
Because somewhere, something fucking horrible is going on.
Yeah.
And, right. Yeah. And if it's our turn, and it is, we're just getting a lot of press. I don't know if you know about the Sudan.
Yeah. Thanks, wizard. Both my parents were passed away, which has been within the last like 4 years, they both passed away. And wow. I went and saw a medium and she had a lot of shit right, which was weird. She was like, I feel someone coming through. And I was like, yeah, right. But then it was like, there were things she was saying that there's no way that she would have known that.
Well, I think that there's very possible that that's true. But I also think that people who go to, when you get your cards read, when you go to mediums and stuff, that emotion that brings you there is if somebody is empathetic and if someone has brains, they can sort of see like what's happening. Right. Yeah. I did once have my palm read at a fair for $5. It was $5 at a fair in Brooklyn. And the woman didn't even look at my hand. She just said, you should lose weight.
Oh.
And I was like, less positive, but I see what you're saying. I get where you're coming from, lady.
And, oh my gosh. Yeah. I went to one in Key West. Wow. I need to make better choices in Key West.
Why do you keep traveling to Key West? Do you love their pie?
Yes. I was down there and I went and had my cards done. And this woman tried to sell me a crystal. And I was like, oh, well, do you think it would help? And she was like, yes, I feel like you have some negativity around you. And I feel like this crystal will really help. And let me get it for you. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I want to buy it. And she's like, let me just show it to you. It'll be something you can touch. She came back with a crystal. It was like this big. Like it was like a football.
Oh, no.
And it was like $700. And I go,
not a loaf of bread crystal. Yeah.
And I was like, that baguette Crystal is not coming to my house. Like, and also, you think I have $700 extra to buy a big
just
crystal?
Loose, buy it a rock?
Yeah.
I have several rocks. There was a woman that I worked with in the 90s who I used to say, Sally Ann Farrar, and welcome to Rock Talk, because she was always showing me a new rock that she had picked up and what it meant. And so when I moved to Los Angeles, she gave me a rock that was a success rock. Oh. I don't know what kind of rock it is, but I've always kept it.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law lived right down from a quartz quarry. And also nothing else. So every day I would walk down to the quartz quarry, which had a soda machine and a place where you could buy some extra rocks that they had not quartz mined. And so I have quite a collection. I have a row of rocks. And then I once read a romance novel that said that rose quartz should drive amethyst.
Oh.
Because rose quartz is heart and amethyst is intelligence. And you should let your heart drive your mind.
Okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Don't let your mind drive your heart.
Right.
Is the other way.
I have quite a few rocks myself.
Bit of a rock collector, are you?
Well,
you have a good looking rock?
I think it happens because when you're searching for something, if you go in the right store and there are bowls of rocks and there are little signs that tell you what the rock will do for you and they're $5, you buy the freaking rock. Like, I've had moments where all of a sudden I have a tiny bag. Like, the whoever works there came over and was like, do you want like a tiny sack for your rocks? And I'm like, yes, I do.
I was just going to buy one rock, but now I have enough rocks to warrant a bag. So thank you very much.
A tiny pouch of good luck and fare. Yeah. So weird.
It's been an hour, Kelly.
All right. Let's call it.
All right. Let's call it. We did it.
Yes.
Kelly MacFarland.
Thank you for having me, Jackie.
Yeah. At Kelly MacFarland. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Everyone, hot gnome. And just go and watch. Go to the Instagram. I'm sure you have more reels and stuff to watch. And
Yeah.
Got all kinds of stuff.
I got the stuff, you've done, you know.
And you should go watch Defending Your Life.
I will.
And we'll have you back on about true crime next time.
All right, perfect. But,
this has been a delight.
Yeah,
so
likewise.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?